Chuck was asking about what we are talking today, and you see the picture right there. What is that picture? What is the meaning of this picture? Love. Compassion. I know, and probably you know that phrase. I am not exactly how it works in English, but an image or a picture is worth than a thousand words. One picture. But I will say to you, one word is worth than a million image. That word is Jesus. Jesus. Talk to your neighbor. Jesus. Jesus is. Yes? I like your church. Are you promoting? No? The church, I mean, no? Good models. Nice. How much is the church, Chuck?
$20.
Excellent. If you don't have yours, grab one. This is announces. Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about love. I was thinking, how can I speak about love? And definitely, God is love. God is love. I was speaking 2 weeks ago at church, and if we can turn our slide. I was talking about the creation, about we believe in life. We are pro-life, and why we don't believe in abortion, in the Bible, everything. And this is very important. So in John 3:16, you know that verse in English. Yeah, could you say it? Amen. So Jesus, name above all names. We talk about creation, I told you, and I brought some coasters too that I'm doing some woodwork. Some of you know that I do some carpentry. I do these coasters and I put some leaves, you know, like it. You like it? See? It's imported, wood imported, and this is a walnut. Maple, cherry, I glue it, I work, I do the creation. I did this as God did us. He made us, creation. And I'm going to tell you a story with this, coasters. First semester in my classes at the evangelical seminary, I meet too many friends over there, and one of them say, "Oh, Mickey, can I have some coasters from you?" Say, yeah, so just an offering. I told him, okay. And I mentioned to him, you can put some scripture, whatever, for your wife, yes. And he said, yes, I want to surprise her, and I want to do something very creative. It's creative, so give me 1 week for thinking what I can do. It was for Christmas. Okay, 1 week, and I asked him again, so what are you thinking on? Grab it. What do you want to do in the laser? He said, I don't have the phrase yet for my wife. I'm waiting for the inspiration, he said. Like Bob's looking at me. Inspiration when we do, yeah, for our wives, something special. Okay. Inspiration come. No, it's not coming, inspiration. One more week. Christmas is coming. And I told him, hey, buddy, so do you have I think that I got it. It was so hard for me a little bit, but yeah, don't worry about it. What do you think? What do you want to put on it? And he said, what about Merry Christmas? And I looked to him, I think it's great, man. And some of my friends, that they know the story, they laugh with me too, and he is very happy, and he's a very nice person too. So yeah, at the beginning, we can, introduction. So will God indeed dwell on the earth? It's a question. Ask it Solomon. Solomon, as he dedicated the temple in 1 Kings 8:27. So Second one, yeah, a good question. Indeed, God's glory had dwelt in the tabernacle and in the temple, but that glory had departed from disobedient Israel. Next one. Yeah, you can pass it. The Wiersbe Bible commentary say, then a marvelous thing happened. The glory of God came to his people again in the person of his son, Jesus Christ. This is the greatest love, Jesus Christ. Next one. Yeah, let's go. Definition. Love, a feeling of deep affection, a central theme in scripture and Christian theology and ethic, defines our relationship with God and dictates how we should treat others. We are talking all this week that the faith is important because it is toward God and hope that we can help others. And we understand that this is coming from God too. We understand that this is coming from the Lord. It's not from us. Hope and love defines our relationship with God and dictates how we should treat others. And we want to see why. So in the beginning, as in Genesis, John begins his gospel in the same way, but he refers to the direct participation of Jesus, the Word, in all creation. Some scholars refer to Jesus Christ as the Logos in Greek. Okay, a concept word in the Bible symbolic of the nature and function of Jesus Christ, also used to refer to the revelation of God in the world. Let's see the next one. It is familiar for you, John 1st. Yes, in the beginning, all together, in the beginning. So John, the beloved disciple, say it right? Yeah. So he, when he understood everything, what he's trying to say, God is God in the beginning. So Jesus, he is the Word. He's the Logos. He's the revelation from God. He's God on earth. He is in the beginning. He was in the beginning on the creation. He is the same, equal. He is God. So we need to understand the context of the people that was reading that they never, some of them never understood who Jesus was. They saw miracles, they saw too many other things, but the disciples never realized. They always were concerned how we can feed these people. And the day before, Jesus was feeding 5,000. So this is, nothing happened with the revelation to them. Comprende? See? Okay, good. The creation. Next one. The opening chapter in the Bible is an exciting story of creation and formation. In the beginning, our home in the universe, the earth, was without order and void, covered with water and, wrap? In darkness. While the Spirit of God moved over the surface of the waters. As the days of creation progressed, God shaped the earth and filled it. Amen? Darkness, day, light, or night. Yes? He separated the day from the night. Why do you think that God separated day from the night? Absolutely. Muy bien, Rick. Muy bien. So this what God did for love. He loved us. He said, you need to rest. You're working hard. You're in the hospice and you are driving everywhere. Or you're a carpenter. You need to rest. See? You know what I mean? See? Yes. Very good. For us, it's a problem, the darkness. I mentioned that too at church. It's a problem for darkness. It's a problem. Oh, could you turn the light on, please?
God need. What's the problem with God? He has problem with darkness? With the night? No, why?
He is the light. Absolutely. He don't have any problem with that. When he's coming, it's all light everywhere. He's the light. Amen. Hallelujah. So God, feel we say this word, putting the light in the sky to separate day from the night. Finally, as a culminating act, God created another kind of living being. Who? Man. Tell your neighbor. Man. Man. Next one. Here is something interesting. Imago Dei. What is Imago Dei? Image of God. Man is not made according to the gender of other creatures. He's made according the image of God. Tell your neighbor, image of God. To the other side now. Or in front of you, image of God. God is good all the time. Next one, every please. So let's read here. So then God say all together, let. Vegetation. Yes. Why God was made in everything like that? Why? For love. Because we need to eat. It's good. I know some people are just thinking at noon. They want to go to eat. River of Life is working on it, yeah? Good. I know what they have. I don't want to tell you. But I think it's good. Yeah. So, next one. Then God said, let the waters swarm with fish and other life. Let the skies be filled with birds and every kind. So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that, how to say that word, scurries and swarms in the water. And every sort of bird is producing offspring of the same kind. And God saw that it was tell your neighbor, God saw that it was good in great way. Yes, this is God's word. Next one. That's something important now. As my friend, thinking, what can I do for the phrase to surprise my wife? But God was thinking, what can I make now? Something different, something special, different to the other species. Say species? What he did. Then God said, let us make all together in our image. God is good all the time, all the time. So I remember when I was a child, one of my professors of Sunday school asked me, so Adam has a belly button? I don't know. So because the belly button is connection to it with mama, one of my friends said, yeah, when God created man, he said, he's so good, bah! We are cute. Look your neighbor. Isn't it nice?
Yeah, it's good. See, you like it? God is creative. Creation, always. So you see females, you see male. You see people of God now here. Look around you. Nice people. Good people. So this is the important. When God makes man, he breaks the pattern he has established by creating living beings according to their species. Something completely different happens when man is made. He's not created after his kind, nor he is created after any other kind among the living creatures. To use modern scientific language, the human being is not a particular species with a gender of living creatures. Man is unlike any of other living creatures. Next one. So, verse 26. Yes, surprisingly, man is created according to the image of, repeat with me, image of? Absolutely. Amen. Made in his imago Dei. Man, like God, is personal being. God himself, as the Bible further reveals, in three persons, all sharing and divine, one divine essence. We are his beloved creation. Tell to your neighbor, we are his beloved creation. And why? Ask him why. Love. I say good love? Good. I'm learning from you. When you say something, I just repeat. The greatest demonstration of love. I see some of you, why you are here? Why you are here? You want to, what? Learning. What else? Why you are here in this week? What do you want? Serve others. Very good. Fellowship. What else? Closer to God. Intimacy with God. Good. Serving. Making new friends. Yes? But we're here for love. Because he loved us first. This is love. You want to come here every year because you can see your friends. You can make fellowship. You can serve others. You can learn. You can have intimacy with God. But all this is love. All this is love. So now we see the incipit, the beginning of the good news about the Messiah, Jesus, the Son of God. We say that John at the beginning said, in the beginning was what? The Word. And the Word was God. He's trying to say, I mentioned to you, Jesus is in the beginning, in the middle of the creation. He is participating in this. He is God. And how, and the first question that I make to you, probably you remember, and I'm going to mention to you again. So will God indeed dwell on the earth? A good question indeed. We said God's glory had dwelt in the tabernacle and in the temple, but that glory had departed from disobedient Israel. So, but Wiersbe said, then a marvelous thing happened. The glory of God came to his people again in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. So, in the Gospel of Mark, and it's equal in the others, Gospel, Matthew, Luke, and John, they are talking about this God, this Messiah. So if we see here, Mark opens his gospel with a prologue that provides the reader with privileged information unavailable to the characters in the story other than Jesus. Let's read here. The beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ. What said? Open your Bible in the book of Mark. What say in the first line? Say the beginning of Jesus. You have different versions, okay, translations. In the beginning of the good news of the Messiah, the Son of God. He's announcing something. He's announcing, he's saying, now he is here. Disobedient Israel in the past pushed out God. So we have the prophets on the Old Testament. How many of you know the prophets? Yeah? How many prophets? You know one prophet in the Old Testament? Isaiah. Jeremiah. Elijah. Good. What did you say, Avery? Yeah, good. So they were the communication with God and the people. Why? Because people don't want to hear God. They don't want to have intimacy with God. So God, he need to use the prophets to communicate it to the people. But now, the beginning of the gospel, the Son of God, he is here to break every chain between God and the humanity. Jesus Christ is in the middle. With the title Son of God, Mark affirms that a profound relationship exists between Jesus and God. But this term's long history in the ancient Near East and the Old Testament meant it had a variety of associations. This enthronement passage invited the use of Son as a title for the royal Messiah. This is good. This is great. I just got received a message from here, from immigration. So Ignacio say he's waiting for the connection, so it means that he passed. Praise the Lord. Yes, amen. Yes. So, praise the Lord. Yes, the title had a variety of connotations in the, pay attention here, the Greco-Roman world. It was applied to figures such as Heracles, Heracles. Yeah, who shared the characteristic of a heroic mortal and of a god. Pay attention here. The emperor Augustus, how many of you remember Augustus? It was a dynasty, Caesar Augustus, Julius Caesar Augustus, and many others. So the emperor Augustus received the title Divi Filius. What is the meaning? The son of the deified one, Julius Caesar. Julius Caesar, he called himself God. He said, I am God. So when Mark is telling us that the Son of God is here, he knows is not just trying to say to us 2,000 years later that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We know about it. We understand. But at that time, what he's writing, he was in complete problem with the authority. He was saying, you, Augustus Caesar, you are not God. For understanding this context, when people come before Augustus, what they did, they kneel him. They kneel and they say, Augustus, son of God. This is what they did. Poor guy that he say he's not God. So when Mark was writing his book, he's saying, Julius Caesar is nothing for me. Augustus is nothing for me. Jesus Christ is the good news, the Messiah, the real Son of God, not you. And he came here for love, by love. The Roman emperors are members of their family where they fight, how do you say that word, posthumously? While Gaius Caligula and later Commodus thought to emphasize his own divinity during his lifetime. The idea of, bestowing divine honors and titles on human beings, whoever was more accepted in the East, which was, accustomed to ruler cults. Next one, Avery, please. So we understand now Jesus came. for one reason. But the writers, they were in problem. All them. What could happen with them? As Rick did, I like it. They could die. Do you remember when we talk about faith? For those who were here. So by love, many people suffer. So now we have the right, now we have the truth. And what we want to do with this truth. This is important thing, how they battle in the past. Because they received this from God to pass in us what is important to understand. Because you are new generations. And probably in a couple of years, some, I'm not saying from here, some people are forgetting. But we never need to forget what our parents did for us, what my dad did for me. They brought you here. They tried to have the vacation on camp meeting time. So you grow up here. When you grow up, when you are grown, I mean, you could be a person of faith, a person of truth, a person with values, with character. We talked this about a little bit yesterday. So the Son of God, Mark's narrative does not simply present Jesus as the long-awaited Messiah, but as one who is God's Son in unique way. Next one. So we need to understand that Mark also described Jesus doing what only God can do. He battles Satan, calls disciples with the power of God, casts out demons, heals fever, cures leprosy, forgives sins, controls the sea, raises the dead, walks on the waves, and miraculously feeds thousands. And he's dead and unleashes apocalyptic events. So his coming signifies not the advent of some early messianic rule, but the advent of the reign of God that will subjugate principalities and powers, things present and things to come, things above the earth and things beneath the earth, and even death. So when Mark is writing this book, when John is saying, this is the word, this was in the beginning, creating everything, what they are trying to say to us. Believe, all this is for you. All this is by love. All this is because we are here now. We are free. America is a free country, yes. But some people has to battle. 100 years ago, for our liberty, for our freedom, for your freedom. It's the same in the Bible. So God is using people. What is the message for today? God could use you for be a blessing for others. Why? By love. So Paul, he wrote in 1 Corinthians 13:13, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of this is love. Because we say at the first day, will faith remain in heaven? What we said? No. Hope remains? No. And love? Yes. And what about faith today? Yes, we can increase our faith and hope. We are expecting something. And love, this is something that we need to keep going every day. Every day. Why? Because we are created under Imago Dei. Image of God is his heart. And he is love. What we can be? Love for others. Yes? Amen? So, next one, please, Avery. The kingdom of God is not primarily a spatial or temporal category, but refers to God's active reign. God approaches with strength, Isaiah, to establish his dominion over sin, sickness, and hostile powers. We talk about sozo. You remember that word sozo? Dominion over sin. What does mean? Salvation. Sickness, healing, and hostile powers, deliverance. We say that sozo comes from the Greek word that means be saved, so salvation, be healed, body or emotional, and deliverance. Next one, please. In the ancient world, kingship conveyed power, sovereignty, domain, and preeminence. But in the Old Testament, kingship was also connected to ruling with justice and mercy. Next one. For Israel, God alone was king, who ruled over all creation, powers, and peoples. In this period of oppression under pagan rulers, many pious Jews expected God to establish a transcendental kingdom greater than all the kingdoms of earth and to avenge injustice, destroy the weak, and vanquish the host of Satan. God's reign claimed the people's absolute obedience. They must sever all other alliances and completely submit to God's law. So we need time to process, to understand all of this. It's not just saying what is God. I mean love, definition, where this comes from. It's good. We talk about charity. Charity. So it's important. James mentioned about that. I need to think in Spanish this word first. No por obras. No by works. James mentioned that in chapter 5, I think, or 2. I'm not sure. I don't remember. It's important when God is working. When mentioned about works, it's mentioned love and charity. What is the same? What is the same? Okay? So who do people say I am? Just stay there, every place. Who were the first to recognize Jesus as the Son of God on earth? Not the Father, neither John the Baptist. Who? On earth. I know that some of here were taking my classes on a church, but don't answer, please. When Jesus was here? Nathaniel, you said? No? Who? Who were the first to recognize Jesus as the Son of God? Let's see next one. Was not Peter. Peter's declaration about Jesus in Mark chapter 8, 27. So the Gospel of Mark was divided in two, chapter 1 till 8, 25 around, and then started the second time. Ministry, and then his way to dead, okay? So Peter's declaration about Jesus, we can see it here. Jesus and his disciples left Galilee and went up to the village near Caesarea Philippi. As they were walking along, he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" Next one. Well, they replied, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others said you are one of the other prophets. Then he asked them, but who do you say I am? Peter replied, you are the Messiah. You are the Messiah. But was a word of Peter? Was Peter saying that? What Jesus said? God revealed, my Father who is in heaven reveals to you. But the question now is, who were the first who recognized that Jesus Christ was the Son of God? Chapter 1. In the chapter 1. I'm saying not the Father when he was baptized, neither John the Baptist when he said, here's the Lamb of God, whatever. But who recognized on earth? Let's see it. Suddenly, a man in the synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out, "Why are you interfering with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know you are I know who you are, the Holy One of God. But Jesus, reprimanded him, be quiet, come out of the man, he ordered. At the evil spirit screamed, threw the man into a convulsion, and then came out of him. So who declared first that Jesus was the Son of God? The demons. They know who was Jesus. So when you are a Christian person, when you are walking everywhere, the enemy know you. He knows who you are. Are you concerned about that? You need to be concerned if the enemy don't know you. We know Paul. We know. Yeah. But who you are. Next one, please, Avery. Jesus heals a man with leprosy. I like this verse. I like this story. We can see too many things here. I don't want to explain everything because of the time. A man with leprosy came and knelt in front of Jesus, begging to be healed. If you're willing, you can heal me and make me clean, he said. Moved with compassion, Jesus reached out and touched him. I am willing, he said. Be healed. What do we see in this passage? What do we see? Let's talk about the man first. How many of you like Max Lucado books? How many of you read that books? In one of his books, he mentioned a story of a man with leper. And I like that story, how he's telling us a story. He say, what about a man that he discovered that he has leper? What he need to do? He need to understand that he need to leave his house, his family, wife, and kids. And he need to go to the village of leper people, leprosy. And let the kids come to him. Don't stop them. Yes, I'm sure. The people that I'm from Ephrata United Assembly Church, I told the same. Let the kids, if they want to come here, okay. In order, yes. If they are growing here, they are healthy. They are healthy and they know what is this. So we need new preachers. Yeah, I'm not kidding. We need new preachers here. We need new worship leaders. How many of you want to be new preachers here? Lift your hands. Nobody. No, this is it's a big deal. So we were talking, this is a parenthesis, we were talking with BOA, with Bishop Brown and Rick about trying to do something in the future. Near future, maybe a couple of weeks. Yeah, trying to help youth people and teaching them how to preach, how to be good, how to love others. We need preachers in the future. Are you in agreement, Bob? I was thinking in you and Dawn 2 weeks ago, I'm sorry. So what church are you attending? Petra. And I was thinking, why you are not moving here? Are you waiting for a confirmation? We need more people that can help us. Yes. This man came and knelt in front of Jesus. Do you remember what I said before here? When they came in front of Julius Caesar, August, what they did, they knelt before Caesar Augustus. When somebody got this sickness, was out of the society immediately, no more. How we feel last year with COVID, when you cannot see your grandparents, your friends, your school friends, your boyfriend, your girlfriend. How you feel? isolated, thinking this guy, how he felt. He cannot see. Nobody can touch him. Nobody can get approach him. Close. So one priest needs to say, this guy or this person is a leprosy. From far. Okay, your destination is leper or leprosy people village, okay? But what the Bible said, he came. He broke the rule. He broke everything. He came before Jesus. He recognized Jesus as the high priest, as a rabbi. He came in front of him. He knelt in front of Jesus. Nobody can kneel before no one except Augustus. But this man has everything to die. He was a leper. And he broke a law. Two laws. He approached as priest, rabbi, and he kneeled. Begging to be healed. Humble. He was humble. What he said, if you are willing, if you can, as difference of the, how do you say, Bartimaeus? Jesus, son of David, have mercy of me. He came. If you're willing, you can help me and make me clean. Because he was unclean because of the law. He said, and God, Jesus, moved with compassion, reached out and touched him. Why he touched him? It's against the law. How many years nobody touched this person? Don't touch nobody if you have COVID or if he has COVID, whatever. Why Jesus touch him? What Jesus give to him when he touch him? Love, but he give dignity. You're a person worth, with value. He give back to dignity, to his dignity to him. And after that, he say, be healed. Jesus could say, be healed. And that's it. But he touched him. You never realize that? So when Jesus is talking, and when you came before him, he's going to give you your dignity, your value, that you're worth. Remember Dr. Valentino, he said, question, say it. What do you want? And the message on Wednesday, I was talking about make the right question. Not like Zechariah, as Mary. You will conceive a son. What she answered? How it will be? Something like that. Good question. When Jesus is talking to you, I want to send you to missions. I want to that you can be a pastor. I want that you can be a missionary. Ask him how it will be. All this is by love. This is what I have in my heart. I want to see new generations filled with the Holy Spirit. Prophecy, I like prophecy. I like tongues and knowledge. As 1 Corinthians said, the main theme of what we are talking. We are prophesying. We are prophesying upon our kids, over them, what you are prophesying. What you are saying to them. In the way that God is speaking to me, I prophesy that the Lord give them more life and more knowledge of him. I told you, someone prophesied about my son that he will be a pastor in the future. And he believed it. But one moment he said, no, I don't want to be a pastor, Daddy. Why? They talk a lot, he said. He's right. But prophesy. Communicate with God. Ask the gift of the Spirit. This will cease in one moment, but the love will remain. This is why the love is the greatest. When we will be in front of Jesus, of God, His love, my love, will be just one love. And if you see your neighbor, his love, her love, will remain and will be just one. As the illustration that I gave it to you before, potatoes, I don't know if it was first day or not. Potatoes, boil it. They, how to say, smash. Could you recognize in your plate which potato is the first? And no, it's just one. So this will be the love. Just one love. Just one love. Love will continue and grow stronger and stronger in heaven as Christians fully and eternally love their great God. In short, faith and hope will not be necessary in heaven. If faith is a present trust in God and His work, often contrary to what we might currently conclude in this fallen world without faith, then we will no longer need faith in heaven, because in the end we will see God clearly as He is. How many have this expectation, this hope, to see God, how He is? Amen. How many say amen? Amen. Likewise, we will no longer need hope because we will be in full possession of what we hope for. So, but now, what do we need to do? Persevere in Him. Close your eyes. And pray. Asking God. Why to hearing this message is necessary. Why we need to pursue in faith, in hope, and in love. Why or what we don't understand about that yet. We need the revelation from the Lord. We need the revelation from the Lord. Keep your eyes closed and keep praying. Lord, what do you want from us? What do you want from us? What do you want from me, from my family, from my wife, from my kids? We say, Lord, we are yours, but when is the time? We don't want to release our kids for missions. We don't want. We understand that you are love, that you are the only one. That if we walk in faith, it's because of you. You choose us. And if we are perseverant in hope, it's because of you. If we love, it is because you love us first. And what we are doing now is giving to you what do you deserve. And what do you deserve? Do you deserve the glory? Yes. And honor. And honor. If some one of you need a special prayer, need a time with God, come up front. You want to pray. If you want to say, Lord Jesus, Thanks for your love. Probably you are not loving enough. But we are your creation. And we have been created under your image, same as you. And we want to love others, to reach more people. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Gracias, Chuck.
Thank you, Mickey, for this week of just sharing, and wow. The greatest of these is love, not because the other two aren't valuable, but they will pass away. So what did the Apostle Paul say? You don't need to hope for what you already have. So when we get to heaven, we won't need hope because we've received. We won't need faith because faith is believing in what we can't see. And if we see it, we don't have to have faith because we see it. We'll experience that. But the greatest of these is love, because there will be love in heaven. Praise God. The true and perfect love. I'm looking forward to that time when we can just love together. I love my brothers and sisters. I love being in camp meeting. I love this time together. But this is nothing compared to what it's going to be like in glory. What it's going to be like there. The love that's going to surround us. I want to pray a blessing on the meal today, and if you have a need, you'd like to talk to Mickey, you'd like to have him pray for you, or pray with you, please do that. I'm sure he'll be ready to, and eager to do that. This afternoon, the youth will be back at. Oh, they're kicking us out again. Okay, the youth will be in the fellowship hall. Okay, thank you. We're all starting in the fellowship hall at 2:00 with worship and praise, and then we'll be separating. The adults will come up here. At least today it's nice and cool, so that'll be great. And the youth will stay down there with Scott and Kara and Mark and Kate, and then tonight is youth night. Doesn't mean we're not all welcome. We're all welcome. And pray for Aaron. When I first asked him, he was like, "Are you serious?" I see some of you cringe when I approach. I try not to take that personally, but and so when I approached him and I asked him, it was like, wow. But later on he responded and said, yeah, I believe that's what God wants of me. I do want to share. And so he's sharing tonight, and he decided he's going to tag team with Brad Horst. And so it's going to be exciting to see. I know they were getting their heads together today to talk a little bit about that and share together. And so they'll be sharing tonight. And so that'll be an exciting time. I believe God wants to move, continue to move, as he's been all week. So those are some of the upcoming things. There is a missions breakfast on Sunday or on Saturday morning down here in the fellowship hall. If you haven't signed up, there's a sign-up sheet down there, and if you're planning to come, please sign up so we know how much to prepare and who we've served. And it truly is a service. We want to serve. We want to serve the people here. I was told yesterday that this will be the 21st year that we've done breakfast. I can't believe it's that long. My wife thought it was a crazy idea when I proposed it 21 years ago, and it hasn't gotten any saner. So But it's a wonderful time. So if you're planning to be there, please sign up. If you'd like to help, we can use your help. There's a lot of meals to serve, so we can always use your help. And just let us know if you'd like to help. So let's rise and pray together. Father, it's a joy and a blessing to have had Mickey share with us this week. I know, Lord, he was a little unsure when we asked with the language and the challenge of thinking in another language to be able to present it. But Father, thank you. He did so well. And I pray you will continue to bless his ministry as he desires to help mentor and help young people grow in their faith and maybe give them some tools. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, he's a good tool giver. And so, Father, thank you for this week that we've shared together. Bless him and Jenny. Thank you that Jenny's serving down in the snack bar area as well. She has a heart of service. Thank you for them. Thank you for their family, their children. And I pray, Lord, you would bless them as they continue on to seek what it is you would have in their future. Bless them richly. Now, Lord, we thank you for River of Life, and as they're preparing the meal for us, we pray you would bless that food to our bodies, bless our fellowship, bless that church for their service today, and Lord, we just look forward to what you want to do through our services this afternoon as well. So bless us and make us a blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.